Testing. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Wow. Sounds like we're in a stadium right now. Praise God. It's good. Electric. All right. So, very good. Everybody want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? It's kind of been on my heart for a while. Have you ever heard of it? You know, we've heard so many times, wondered, what actually happened here? This is a thorn in the flesh, and I'll read what God's going to tell you about this. Starting with 7, and we're going to go through 10. And in lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we've heard that, haven't we? Huh? Many times. And how many times I am fallen. So we're going to please bow ahead and join me in prayer. Dear Lord, I come before you, and as we're talking about weaknesses, and I ask forgiveness in those areas. I've fallen this weekend, this whole week, rather, and I ask you, Lord, to use me as an example. I know you just had mentioned your grace is sufficient for me. I take that in my heart, Father God, and I just ask you, please, to work within all of us, Father God, if there is sin in our lives, that we, whatever, that's a separation to begin with between us. Me, you, Lord God. So the biggest thing, I need to make that right. And I ask forgiveness in those areas, Father God. And the biggest thing, I know you'll forgive me. You'll send that sin to the farthest part of the earth, the depths of the sea, forgotten. Help us not hang on to it. We don't need to anymore. It says, cast those cares upon me. So anything that's going on, trials, tribulations, turned into a sinful nature, those type of things, oh, Lord, just help us get rid of it. Help me release that to you. Take that from me, Father God. So I know as Paul had talked about, you're done with Paul. I always wondered why he did that. And we have a better understanding, I think, as we go in your word, what that really means. So, Father God, that's just, and it's just, it's a weight on any of us. It's just something like that. Satan enjoys to see it, and we're not going to cast him out in the name of Jesus, and away from us, bind him in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said it was bound earth, it's bound heaven, it's loosed on earth, and it's loosed in heaven. So we, as we go forward, Father God, we just, you want to be set free, and he's been set free. I'll be set free, Father God. Since I'm set free, I'm free indeed. So we move on in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. I know he passes mind and heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him like livers of water, living water, that is, like a bread of life. I think of those type of things and the woman by the well. And boy, those things are so precious. You want to really know more about Christ, you have to get close to him. He'll give you that living water. He'll give you that bread of life during that communion time. And he is the way, the truth, the life. Help us never to forget that, Lord Jesus, going forward. We're facing a lot of things right now, a lot of things that just kind of draw us in, come against the oppression, come against depression, all these other things that are not of you. We just come against that right now. And we lift you up, Father God, for as we sing for an audience of one this morning. Amen.
A whole bunch of us men from this church went to Iron Sharpens Iron in Manchester. If you would put that photo up. Now, I don't want to scare you, but that is ones that God has called to lead. Right, and our elders couldn't make it, but they're called to lead too. You know, but that's a motley looking crew. You know, so I didn't want to scare you, but I'm telling you right now, that's a bunch of men of God. Amen. And we spent all day yesterday in worshiping the Lord and thanking God for what he has done with us and what he is going to be doing through us. And I was just wondering if you went, maybe a quick testimony of what you walked away from yesterday with? Anybody? Yeah, 20 seconds or less, we're right.
What I walked away with, is this on? Check, check. Is it? No? Hello? Check, 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 check. Can I have my worship mic, the blue one? Check. Oh, there it goes. Okay, we're good. Thank you, Pastor. What I walked away from yesterday, more than any teaching or exhortation, was watching the brothers in this church come together and be vulnerable together and share things with one another, to go to breakout sessions that maybe might be challenging and might reveal some things that we don't want to necessarily share about ourselves, but to put each other in a place of accountability where we can grow and walk together. And that was so encouraging to me more than anything else, is to watch the men of this church become even closer, more united, more accountable to one another, more vulnerable to one another. The strength it takes to do that is only given by God, really. And so I just praise him for the work that he's doing in this church, because I know that he's doing great things and a lot in us, around us, and through us.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else. Doug, 20 seconds or less.
Good luck with that. So this was my first Iron Sharpens Iron. And like you, Rob, I saw that too. But I got to challenge you guys. If you haven't been, you got to go. The power, you just can't explain it. All of us men there, you know, holding hands together, singing. I mean, the music was just on par.
Yeah. Oh.
I got so much out of this. I went to seminars that challenged me, and I grew a lot out of that. And men, we're called to be leaders. We're not called to be sitting around. We're called to be good to our wives, good to our families, and good to our church. And we need to build each other up and help each other in this, and that's what I learned from this.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else? Anyone else?
It was absolutely amazing just watching everybody come together and grow in the few hours that we were together. And for me, what I brought away from it is no more second chances. I'm going to grow, and this is my stepping out. This is my moment.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Trey. I'm telling you, God is doing an awesome work in this guy.
So it was my first time there. Guys were pushing me to go. Almost didn't make it. But it was life-changing. It was a wild experience. I am recharged, as Joe told me. And I've made brothers here. And,
yeah.
You know, this is God's plan. So it was just, I was shedding tears. I was hugging, I was shaking hands and exchanging stories, and I just had an incredible time.
Amen.
So God bless.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Frank.
I've been several times to the Iron Sharpened Iron, but yesterday what I took out of it, for many years, Mrs. New would know, I struggled with dealing with authority over me and stuff and being obedient to a lot of things in life. And it showed me yesterday by standing in faith that as I be obedient to God, the more and more I can have more peace and love with towards my brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Going, gone.
I have a question. Are there any other men that were there that are not in the picture, like my husband?
Rick's not in the picture?
No, he's not
Where
in the picture.
Were
Where were you?
Don't ask me.
Rick was there. And just because his wife just pointed that out, do you have something you'd like to share what you learned yesterday? No? Well, I thought we had everybody gathered together.
Well, maybe there's but somebody else that was there that wasn't.
I don't know. If somebody else was went but not in the picture? Between
Joe's
who?
Older brother.
Who?
Joe's older brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He may start coming to our church.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Open with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to walk through this book, this letter, over the course of the summer. If I can get two messages out of each chapter, that's going to be 12 weeks right there. I have a feeling it's going to be more than that. Father, I thank you for your word. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that through this portion of your scriptures this morning, that you will speak to us. Lord, we are your servants. We are your children. We are your sons and daughters. We are your friends. Speak to us this morning, Lord. I ask you, Father, to use me to open up your word to each and every one of us. Oh, God, I confess to you again, I cannot do this without you. I need your anointing. I need your unction in this word. And I praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
For forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Can you praise his glory this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I got out of Iron Sharpens Iron yesterday, you see, I asked a bunch of guys, but nobody asked me. A couple of things. I got a lot of things. One of them was that you have to be careful what you allow in your upstream so that your downstream gets fed properly. We all have an upstream and a downstream. We all have the upstream, meaning what is poured into your life, what do you receive, what do you watch on TV, what do you read out of newspapers, out of different books, out of different magazines, how you, who you Surround yourself with what, how's your conversation goes with others. You know, and all of this is upstream. This is all what is poured into you. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what you pour into yourself, what you allow to be poured into yourself, is what's going to go downstream to all of those who you influence. Every single one of us here have somebody we influence. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you may say, I don't really influence anybody. Oh, yeah, you do. I've got little grandkids. You know, I influence them. I'm known as Bapa. You know me as Pastor Matthew. My grandkids don't know me as Pastor Matthew. I'm Bapa. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I even have occasionally have said like to Emmett, Emmett, you know, I really love being your grandpa. And he looks at me and said, Bapa. Okay, stand corrected by a 7-year-old, you know. You see, they're part of my downstream. You want to know what legacy you may leave, you have to look at what's happening in your downstream. You know, so I got that. That was profound to me. I was just like, it was one of those moments that it was in the first session. It was the only main session we had where everybody was together for teaching. And the person who was taught was Pastor Gabe Turner. And when he said that, I think for the next 10 minutes, I didn't hear a word he said. Because I was just like, it was just bouncing around inside of my head. You know, there's not much up there, so there's a lot of room for it to bounce. But, you know, I just had to think about that. You know, and to recognize, you know, we need to recognize we are responsible for those that we influence. And if we're going to influence them in the ways of Christ Jesus, then we have to make sure that our upstream, what is influencing me, is coming straight from the throne room of God. And the more I filter out everything else, and the more focused on God I get, I believe the more of His power begins to pulsate.
Yes.
Gabe Turner said one other thing. And I want you to listen to this as we get into the Word of God this morning. He said, I belong to the great God party.
Yes.
You can be a Republican party, you can be Democrat party, you can be Libertarian party. He said, I'm of the great God party.
Me too.
And I will have nothing to do with the little God party. Christ doesn't want nibblers of the possibility. He wants grabbers of the impossibility.
Yes.
I'll say that again. God does not want nibblers of the possibility. He wants grabbers of the impossibility. If there is something in your life that just seems absolutely impossible, whether it's good or bad, whether it's a prosperous a blessing or what could be considered a curse, God can bring His goodness in it. For those that are willing to grab a hold of His impossibilities. Grab a hold of that which is impossible in this world and say, I will not let go. You know, that's what Jesus taught about the woman and the unjust judge. You know, what did she say? I'm just going to grab a hold of him and I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go until he blesses me. And what did the unjust judge say? I'm going to bless her because this woman's wearing me out. You know, she just won't let me go. See, we need to be willing to grab a hold of God in such a way that we're just not going to let go. And God, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. He is not an unjust judge. He's very very righteous.
Yes.
He is very holy. And He is very good. And we need to latch a hold of Him and not let go. I want you all to be able to say, I belong to the great God party. Hallelujah. Somebody asks you if you're a Republican, say, now I'm of the great God party.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because He's the King of all kings, and He is the Lord of all lords, and He is the one that is the God of this world. And blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Yeah. I can't change this nation, but I'm part of this nation, and I can change me, so I'm going to be standing on the Lord. That's so right. This part of the USA is going to be godly. This part of the USA is going to be holy. This part of the USA is grabbing a hold of God, and I'm not going to let go for nothing.
That's right.
That's not proper English, I know, but it gets the point across, right?
We got it.
You got it? All right. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I need to ask you a question. Who here is a saint?
We all are.
Some of you not voting. That means two things. Either you're not saved, or you're wrapped up in religiosity. Because the word saint is a scary word. They use that for, like in the Catholic Church, you know, Saint Peter, Saint Jude, Saint this, Saint that. Well, I got news for the Catholic Church. I'm Saint Matthew.
That's right.
I know they have one, but I ain't him. All right? And I know that some of their saints did really mighty, mighty deeds and mighty works and all. But see, the Bible calls the believer who loves Jesus, calls you a saint. Hallelujah. Praise God. Saint Matthew. Hallelujah. What does the word saint mean? It means sacred. It means pure. It means morally blameless. And we all know that those things can only be done through the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If he hasn't forgiven me, then I ain't clean. But because I came to him and I asked him to forgive me of all my sins, his word says that I have been forgiven of all my sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness, which makes me pure, which makes me holy, which makes me morally blameless. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, so I'm a saint. Can you say I'm a saint?
I'm a saint.
Who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Are you faithful in Christ Jesus? The word faithful there is pistos, and it means trustworthy. All right? It's not just faithful meaning, oh, yeah, I'm faithful, I'll never leave the Lord. No, but are you trustworthy? Here's a good mark of somebody who's trustworthy. If I said I will do it, I will do it.
Right.
If I put my name down, then that means yes. Yet there your yes be yes, your no be no. You want to get up here and preach this word?
No, you're doing a fine job.
Oh, I know. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, please interject with me. It's not supposed to be just me. The body ministers to the body. Amen? Hallelujah. Say that again. All right, well, I'm all done. You next? Are you faithful? Are you trustworthy? Can you be counted on? See, that's what Paul is saying here to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, you can be a saint but not be faithful. It's these two things are supposed to be married together. If I'm a saint, then I should be faithful. Amen? I should be trustworthy. You know, so I just asked that question to you because Paul says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Are you a saint? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you trustworthy? Say amen.
Amen.
Then this letter's for you. All right, God, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this because Paul starts many of his letters out this way. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know, he pours out these blessings. He speaks these blessings over others. You know, at the end of every service, that's part of what I like to do is to bring that priestly blessing that's in Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And Paul says here, grace and peace to the body of Christ. Grace and peace to you through our Father, our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father. Do you know God is blessed? He's blessed. You know that you can bless him?
Yes.
You realize that this morning? You can bless God. We always, you know, look to get the blessings of God. To God, you know, pour your blessings upon me. God, I need your blessings. I want your blessings. I hunger for your blessings. And that's not wrong. But you also need to realize that you have the opportunity to bless God. You won't hear God say, oh, come on, will you just please bless me? I need your blessing. No, that's his right. And it is our responsibility to give that to him. Hallelujah. So when we sing and you begin to lift your arms up, you know, I love seeing, I see people who come here for the first time and they're like this because they're like, what is this? You know? I remember when I left a Baptist-style church, and Kathy and I went to Agape Christian Fellowship, and this was in 1981. Yeah, some of you weren't born yet. I've been around for a long time. And we went to Agape Christian Fellowship. And I'm listening to the music, and I'm looking around like this. My hands go in my pockets because I don't want things to, I didn't want it to be contagious, you know. And I'm watching, I'm seeing people start lifting their hands, lifting their arms, going like this. I saw people start to dance before the Lord. There was this one guy, it was so funny. Yeah, I'm back there, and he's like standing in the midst. And he's just, his hands are up, and he's doing this, you know, the Holy Ghost rock, back and forth like this. But as he's doing it, he's stepping forward about 6 inches each time. His eyes are closed. He's just worshiping the Lord. And he's praying to God, and he bumped into the pulpit. He stops, he looks down, he goes, oh. And started backwards. And you know what's really funny? He did not care. Because he was so focused on the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the God. We get to bless God. You know, I heard a story. It was a really cool story. I wasn't going to put this in here, but it just came to mind. This woman comes up and says to the pastor, Pastor, I'm leaving their church. Really? Why? Well, I see people on their phones during worship, and I see people whispering back and forth, you know. And I saw a person, he was just reading. He wasn't really worshiping. And it's just all of these different things that are going. Kids in the back of it were on the floor with a coloring book and coloring. They weren't being trained to worship God. No, they were being trained to be comfortable in the house of God. Amen. That's true. And I just like, oh, I just, it, this, I can't believe that God is here. I'm going to leave. So the pastor said, okay, but before you go, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I want you to grab a glass of water, pour it right up to the top. And during worship, I want you just to walk around the church holding on to that. And don't you spill a drop. So she's holding on to it. She's walking around. Not trying not to spill a drop. Concentrate on what it is. You know, and he finally came back up to the pastor. Pastor took the cup and set it down and said, you did really good. You didn't spill a cup. You didn't spill a drop. Why? She says, because I was so concentrated on it that I didn't want to spill it. She says, that's right. If you would just, in worship, concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't notice what's going on around you. What was the pastor saying? Will you just forget about trying to get blessings from others and just bless God in your worship? Keep your focus on him, because everybody's going to disappoint you in one point or another. I'm going to disappoint you. If I haven't yet, be prepared. I will. I even disappointed Kathy once, I think. You get that? You go, oh, ho, ho. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yeah, right. Hallelujah. That is a mouthful. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
You are. What are those spiritual blessings? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Can you consider yourself saved? And that when you breathe your last, you're going to heaven. Yeah. Or if Jesus was to return, you're going to be taken up with him. Yeah. Hallelujah for that. I can't wait, man. That's going to be, I'm going to be flying. I don't even have wings. Haven't heard them yet. No. Yeah, I have. You have salvation.
Yeah.
You have peace.
Yes.
If you will just grab a hold of that peace. You have healing.
Yes.
You have provision.
Yes.
You have friends. You have God that loves you with an everlasting love, who calls you not just as a servant, not just as a son or just as a daughter, but as a friend. And I'll tell you, in Proverbs, it says that there are friends that sticks closer than a brother. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Can you just say hallelujah for that? Now I can get up and dance on that, because that's the truth. Hallelujah, it's the truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Praise God for that. He has chose us. In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says this. It says that you did not choose him, but he chose you. The title of this message happens to be, Who Chose Who? Who chose who? Because then in dealing with that, you have to deal with the next verse. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, there is a theology out there that says that you are predestined to be saved. That you don't really have a choice in the matter. Then there are ones that God has predestined to be saved. There are ones that are predestined to hell. There's that theology out there. Which to me is not biblical. They'll take cherry pick this verse and bring it together and form out their own whole theology. Listen, please. I was chosen by God before the foundation of the world to be his. But I have a free will, and I had to answer that choosing. If I did not answer that choosing, then I would be destined for hell, even though it is not his will. He desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. You see, God's will, and I've said it before, God's will be done. You know, God's will be done. When we don't know what else to pray, we pray, God's will be done. Well, you know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, that was God's will. Amen?
Yes.
Nobody will argue with that. But then God said to Adam, you see that tree? Don't eat it. Don't you eat it. You can eat anything in the garden. You can have your choice of everything and eat as much of it as you want. But you don't touch that tree. You don't eat that tree. Eat from that tree. What did they do? Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree. That was not God's will. God's will was for them to be obedient. It was not God's will for them to be disobedient. Here, has anybody here been disobedient to God? Are you willing to raise your hand? If you're not voting, then that means you're wrong. You're lying, and that's against God's will. All right? We all sin and fall short of God's glory. So the understanding of predestined is that God has predestined from the foundation of the world for me to be adopted as a son. He has opened the door for me to be able to be saved. But it was up to me to step through that door. I don't step through the door, I don't get the gift. When he hands it to me, if you don't take it, if I was to give you a Christmas present, you know, Dawn, if I was to give you a Christmas present, you've got to take it. If you don't take it, you don't get it. You get it? You understand? Yeah. You know, that's what the scripture says, is having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. The word predestined is parousia. And it means determined beforehand or ordained beforehand. But, you know, I can look at John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not
perish,
but have
everlasting.
That means everybody had the doors open for him, right? Yeah. Every single person is predestined to be saved.
Yeah.
Nobody is predestined to hell. We predestine ourselves by refusing what Jesus Christ did for you and for me on that cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. So having predestined is simply saying that he has opened the door for you to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're listening online and you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord, God right now is knocking on your door of your heart saying, the door is open. I am the door, he says in the scriptures in John chapter 7, I think it is. He says, the door is open. I am the door. You want to get into heaven, you got to come through me. I'm the door. You're going to pass through me. If you don't pass through me, you don't get there. Because I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said that. And he's the only one that was raised from the dead. So if he can beat the chains of hell and death, I think I'll believe him.
Amen.
You know, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look at the time. I've only got to verse 5. Wow. Cool.
Oh, my goodness.
You might spend a year in this. That was predestined. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, this is what God's word says. This is not a man's word. This is God's word. We have to go by the, you have to look at it in contextually, and we have to look at it in its totality. We cannot cherry pick a verse here and a verse there to make the Bible sound like it matches what I think it should be. No, we are supposed to take the totality of God's word and allow God's word to formulate what my theology or your theology and doctrine is. That it comes through the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
What, sir?
When we build up God's men, everybody wins.
I'm coming close so that everybody can hear you.
When we build up godly men,
everybody wins. That's right. That was one of the sayings at the Iron Sharpens Iron yesterday. When you build up godly men, everyone benefits from it. Praise God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Listen, please, when we come here in the morning, or when you're home alone, or when you're driving by yourself, and you got some good worship music on. If you're driving, don't do this. You know, unless you drive a Tesla or something. But, you know.
That's what the knees are for.
That's what the knees are for, yeah. But, you know, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. See, I'm accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? You guys are. I am. That means I'm not just accepted by him, but I am to be accepted by you. Hey, you know, if you're a believer, then you're stuck with me for eternity. You might as well learn to get along with me now.
Yeah.
You laugh. I got to get along with you. You know, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. This is a special or unique honor.
Yes.
To be accepted in the beloved. You know, when I was a kid growing up, and I was not one of the most famous of the kids. You know, you had the ones that were,
Popular.
Popular, thank you. I wasn't one of the most popular. I was one of the ones that said I didn't like to fight. And so because of that, the bullies would always pick on me. You know, and I had to get to the place where I'm just so mad and so frustrated that I just hit him over the head with a baseball bat or something. You know, but it took a lot to get me to that point. I would run from a fight. You know, later on when I was on the street, the things kind of changed. But I mean, as a kid, I wasn't popular. And I wanted so much to fit in. One of the reasons that led me down the path of drugs. But, you know, I mean, it's just a simple boyhood playground thing. You want to play ball. Okay, well, we got to choose two teams. So there's about 12 kids there. So you choose two captains. So they go up, one captain up there, one captain up there. And then this one chooses one, then this one chooses one out of the ones that are there. You know, I always made the last round pick. You know, I was one of the last ones, but I'll take him. I guess because he's the last one on there. You know, and I just did not feel like I fit in. You know, anybody else had that problem as they were growing up? Just didn't feel like you fit in. A lot of us did. I'm not going to ask who anybody here were bullies to us. No, I'm not going to ask you. But here God is assuring you and assuring me to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, say that, he made us accepted in the beloved. But you see, that's also got to be an attitude, you know, an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, I got to have the attitude of being a son of the living God. I'm his brother. He's my best friend. I am part of this body, whether you like it or not. You know, I can stand as accepted in the beloved, not because you accept me, but because he does. And see, if he accepts me, and he accepts you, and he accepts you, think God really accepts him?
I don't call
John. Yeah, zip a lip right on that one, right? But then he accepts you. And my goodness gracious, he accepts you? And you? You know what that's saying? God is saying, you're good enough for me.
Yes.
I'm the King of all kings. I'm the Lord of all lords. I spoke everything that you can possibly see and you'll never, ever see this side of heaven. I have spoken into existence, and yet you are good enough for me.
Yeah.
And my goodness gracious, if I'm good enough for God, I better be good enough for you. If you're good enough for God, you've got to be good enough for me. Amen?
Yeah.
That's being accepted in the beloved. And I'm not going to finish this message today. So we will finish we'll finish this portion maybe next week. But if there's anything you can get out of this message this morning, please understand, O saints and faithful ones, that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is nothing you need that God cannot supply. There is nothing, no thing that you need that God cannot supply. He's the God of all flesh, and there's absolutely nothing that's too difficult for him. And if it's not too difficult for him, but God, by gosh, then I am just going to wait upon him. Can you stand with me this morning? Stand with me this morning. And I want you to proclaim to God in your own words. I'm going to read this statement by Pastor Gabe Turner again. I'm going to read it, but I want you to claim a hold of it. I want you to grab a hold of this for yourself.
Yes.
I belong to the great God party.
And
we'll have nothing to do with the little God party. Christ doesn't want nibblers of the possibility, but grabbers of the impossibility. And I am not going to be a nibbler. I'm going to be a grabber. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that this portion of your word, I believe that you've opened it up to us in new, meaningful ways, Father. I pray that each one of us will be encouraged in your word and in the power of your might, because there is nothing too difficult for you. To the praise of the glory of your grace, by which you made us accepted in the Beloved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm good enough for you. That you made me good enough.
Yeah.
I can't make myself nothing. I don't even get good English. But Lord, you have made me accepted.
Yes.
In the Beloved. In Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, then I hope you have heard all the blessings that wait for you, but are not yours until you reach out and receive Him as Lord and Savior. So with that, I'm going to ask that we pray this prayer, and if you want to receive Christ as Lord, pray it along with me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and I ask you to come in. I need you. I cannot make myself good enough for you, but you will make me good enough for you. I receive you now as my Lord, as my Savior. I confess my sins, and you are faithful and just to right now forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So Lord, you're my Savior and I'm your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.